until the last 1 hour of the Morning Crossfire, the very first of its kind this week. And we bid you welcome to our broadcast. If you are just joining us, welcome. Thank you for joining us as well. I am Sheriff Quadri. We're streaming live right now on Facebook. We're also live on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3. Now let's talk about what is not being talked about enough. And that is Nigeria's ailing health sector. If you like, call it Nigeria's dying health sector. If the health sector dies, then what becomes of the country to start with? In some countries, I mean, you can't joke with the health sector. I'm not saying we're joking with our health sector here, but if that's the meaning you've read into it, so be it. So with the numbers of COVID cases rising, especially the Delta variant, currently the most transmissible of all variants detected in African countries, including Nigeria, is the Delta variant. Doctors, resident doctors are on strike. They are yet to call off their strike. We are battling cholera. We are battling chickenpox. Just name it. In all the negotiations doctors have had with the government, now they are headed to court today. Last week, the resident doctors president accused the Ministry of Finance, the Budget Office, and the Head of Service of moving the payment of doctors from the GIFMIS to IPPIS. The consultants, the senior doctors that teach the resident doctors, they are fighting over a similar case of moving their payment platform to another platform entirely. Now, just so you know, this morning, we're not going to even dwell on the strike. We're not going to dwell on this. We want to take a holistic look at the health sector in general. And I can't have a better guest this morning on the show. I have Dr. Tuyemi Bawodu on the show. He's a health expert. He has decades of experience under his belt. Tuyemi, a very lovely morning to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Sheriff. Good morning, listeners.
It's good to have you here. I'm going to start this way, Dr. Tuyemi. I'm going to start this way. I'm sure that you have taken a look at the health sector currently as it stands today. How would you best describe our health sector right now?
Let me just use one single word.
Yeah.
Broken. Our health sector is broken. I will come to the figures and the dynamics so that it can make sense to people. But before saying that, let me say this.
Yeah.
Health is a special institution. It has an indelible mark on human, our social structure, and our civilization. Mm-hmm. Without health, there won't be civilization of the people, okay? Also importantly, it's a fundamental good, very necessary for public life. So health is not just this concept of doctors going on strike, demanding for money and all that.
Yeah.
Know that for every time your health is compromised ability to access health is compromised, there's a destruction of the public good, there's an attack on the civilization, and the humanity itself is facing a precarious situation.
What are those?
So now, because it then becomes important to look at the whole spectrum, the ethics of health, the process of health, and the people involved. And when you have, anywhere you have money being allocated to something, politics will come in, interests will come in. You need to fight for those things. And as much as everybody tends to neglect the health system and think it's their business, then we are facing a big problem. So the politics of health, the money, the funding of health, and will definitely affect the policy of health.
I wanted to ask you initially.
The major challenge for me is this.
Yeah.
The majority of the people, the consumers of health, have been silent. Completely silent.
Let's even start from there, because I was going to ask you what are those, because you mentioned that the health sector is broken. I was going to ask what broke it, but we'll come to that in a moment. But why do you think people have been silent, as you put it? Why do you think people have been quite nonchalant when it comes to the present situation of the health sector right now?
It is a mindset, honestly, because you sit down, you wonder what is driving the thoughts of an average Nigerian, okay? Mm. The dominant thoughts in the public space are those things that will not add value to their health. And you see, as you think, so you are. So the dominant thought is about, you see, it's pecuniary. Mm. The dominant thought is about, how do I get pleasure? Mm. How do I just enjoy? How do I hammer? Mm. The dominant thought is not looking at the deeper things. Of course, the dominant thought is also religious. Mm. It's not looking at deeper things that constitute human life. Mm. And you, if you look even at the evolution of religion, you find out that health is an essential component of religious group or religious institutions. Mm. Because even the so-called avatars, the avatars of those days, were deeply involved in delivering health care to their people. Mm. And when the first set of religious people moved into Nigeria, you saw them embracing health and using health instrument to give people life and hope.
The fact that everybody can
advance their civilization.
Till today.
But suddenly, we saw that even the religious hues kept changing, and people are now thinking of religious as pecuniary, as benefit, you know, and then abandoned the whole component of that health, education, because three critical things helps evaluation. Security, education, and health. And at the center of all this is health. Because now that is why even when you are crafting SDGs or MDGs, you see the health component standing out clearly.
Clearly.
Because without health, you can't. You see, you need to see people that are sick. You can't pray. Your everything you want to do is dead. So these are the critical issues. But why people are not really dwelling on this is because they've seen it that is their problem. I don't. But no matter how you are,
this is the people's problem.
Exactly. No matter how you are, no matter your faith, no matter your wealth, no matter who you are, no matter your position in the spectrum of life, you consult. You will have to face health challenge. Unless the person dies, you know, earlier. Now, if you want to go back to this, to the challenges of say we're saying we have a broken health system.
What broke our health system?
Okay, let's look at our scorecards now.
Okay.
Now, as we are now, government last year or this year, government budgets, federal government budgets, 8 naira per person.
Excuse me.
Eight naira. So that amounts to less than 3,000 naira every month for you. Now, your federal government budget on you is just 8 naira per day.
Per day.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at the finance now. Okay. Just 8 naira per day. Okay. Now, out of that 8 naira per day, they will pay wages of doctors. They will refurbish hospitals. They will fuel their vehicles and all sort of anything concerning health for each Nigerian is 8 naira. Per day, less than 3,000 naira per month. Okay, now if you look at that, even the rest of what you don't have is that because that money is not enough, 70% of Nigerians we have to dip their hands in their pockets, okay, to bring money out to assess health. And what kind of health are they assessing? Okay, so most of the time they're far from location where they can get good health services. Most of the time, they get to hospital that is overcrowded. Most of the time, they get to institutional challenges, you know, and they have to end up presenting themselves at late stages. You know? So now, if a family is managing and they're just having little fund of money to manage to go pay for schooling and housing and all that kind of thing, and the head of the family is hit with a health challenge or a health problem,
right,
the family will revert to poverty. Okay, so health is in that way is a determinant of poverty. Now, if you look at Nigeria, for every 100 women dying, and now I want to move to those figures now.
Yeah,
all over the world because of pregnancy related issue, 20 are in Nigeria. How do you explain that? 20.
Wait. For every 100 women that die
in the whole world,
in the entire world,
because of pregnancy related issues, 20. And Nigerians.
My word.
Okay. Now, if you look at the newborn death, okay, the newborn baby, okay, for every 100 dying when they're born
in the world,
10 are Nigerians. Okay. If you look at another, I've picked the thing from pregnancy, to newborn, and you look at under five, where we lose, Nigeria is actually number three in under five deaths in the world. 800,000 under the age of five dies from preventable causes. So now, if you then go forward, you've moved from that age, and then you're saying, okay, wait, this child has not gone above five. You know, 400,000 malaria will kill. Most of them, this younger age. And then malnutrition will hit. I mean, of course, you know our figures, 35% malnourished and stunted. Once you are malnourished, the capacity of the brain to think, for you to actualize your full potential, is limited. So sometimes I'm not too surprised when I see the kind of discussion going on in the minds of the younger ones, because in reality, they have suffered malnutrition
right from when they were young.
The capacity for the brain to extract critical information is dead. So they get everything. They just take hook, line, and sinker, and they are fed. So now, when you now get to the youth stage, what do you get? Malnutrition. What do you get? Drug abuse, drug and substance abuse, you know? And the number is huge. So, and then you know what the capacity, what that one then does to the mental capability of those younger ones. And then infection comes in, HIV, tuberculosis, all sorts
and
of
things
are coming. And then, it's not then, is it then a surprise for you that the average life expectancy in Nigeria is 53 years old? Now, what that means essentially is this. For someone that died at 53 years age and using most of that year struggling, it means essentially that he cannot then teach his second generation some values. He cannot invest in those grandchild or children effectively. So you see us being caught.
All of these things are connected to the health sector.
And then you are saying
from when you're born.
Yes. As if you are not developed. And then a malnourished woman will likely give birth, you know, to a compromised child. These things are just connected. But why we tend to look at health as something far from me, I'm not concerned, doctors are on strike, I don't understand. So I have expected that at this stage and point, NGOs, groups, people will have come out and said that, listen, we demand our health. Health is a big issue in electionary campaign in every democracy we're copying. Big issue. The health spending is massive in any economy. If, you know, either the government has to find a way. Even the most capitalist nation will have a way to fund health system.
Yeah.
And then here you are. Okay, you said we have 30,000 primary healthcare centers all over Nigeria in 774 wards and about 774
local government
and about 10,000 wards. And out of all these things, just 6,000 are functioning, 20% or thereabout. You actually can see functioning. Everything there's, you know, lack of.
Why has it been so difficult, especially the primary healthcare? Let's focus on primary healthcare. Why has it been so difficult to operate primary healthcare?
Because, Dr. T, the
reason I ask the question is because most people don't even know that PHCs exist. What they go to, where they go to, are the tertiary institutions.
Or
tertiary
even secondary.
Or even secondary.
Yeah.
That's where they go to.
Okay. You have 30,000 primary healthcare centers all over 10,000 wards, 774 local government all over the nation. You are facing a lot of issues with only just 6,000 of them. That's 20%.
Yeah.
They are working. So it means that if you are in a faraway corner of Nigeria, you won't have access to that primary healthcare centers. Then secondly, the key words there is the staffing, the human resources for health. Now, you look at your human resources for health, Nigeria has just four doctors for 10,000 people. The WHO recommends one for 600, or at worst, one for 1,000. So we're having a gap of as much as 200,000 doctors. For instance, I'm giving that as an example. So now, in this country, the resident doctors are on strike. The registered doctors that are practicing, they're just about 50,000 or so, and half of them are resident doctors. So, then, first of all, where do you now get human resources? Then, secondly, you look at the budget. The health bill or health act was passed. They said 1% of consolidated revenue should be directed to basic healthcare. Now, that 1% should be, okay, for instance, if the budget in Nigeria this year is 13 trillion, we're looking at 130 billion. But what we get now is paltry 35 billion. There's no fund for it. And as for that 35 billion, you give 50% to National Health Insurance system, which is riddled with corruption. Okay? You give 45% to National Primary Healthcare Development Agency to build houses, and you give 5% to Ministry of Health, Federal Ministry of Health, to respond to emergencies. This little money are not being properly utilized. Okay? So there's no fund, no human resources, and then the people's confidence in the primary health care system is so challenged. You know, the people are not, they can't trust the primary health
They don't feel safe going to the primary health centers.
They're not connecting. So, and then we run the health system in silos, okay? Because they're not connecting, they don't go there.
Yeah.
As they don't go there, they move to secondary health system, and then that one is overwhelmed, and lo and behold, we have poor quality, you know, delivery in those institutions. So now the narration should be to honestly engage the community in the primary healthcare system. It has to be owned by the community. They must be able to, we must be able to look at the challenges in that community and tailor the primary healthcare system to solve the major health challenges in that community.
What if the disconnect is largely due to the fact that when they go there, there's absolutely nothing happening there? Even if you ask the community to own it, what if the community decide to own it, but then there is nothing to own? You don't have doctors, you don't have nurses, they don't have drugs, they don't have anything.
Let me tell you, I did a project,
okay,
you know, in the riverine community of Lagos State, you know, try to look at the health system. You'll be shocked, as close as Lagos is here, just 20 minutes on boat towards Ekpe, you will never see health system. I can't quote, I have dog, you will never see health system. Neglected, abandoned, left to cater for themselves. So people that is Lagos. Then you can imagine what is happening in Kaura and Amoda. You know, you can imagine what is happening in Gamburu and all those places. Okay, so you can imagine what's happening in those areas. If Lagos, just by you here, you know, all the health system is structured around the metropolis. So that is the challenge. So they're not seeing that responsive nature of government touching their lives. And they said that, listen, I am on my own. Let me go and drink my herb. And of course, to worsen the matter, where the religious institution has breached the gap by setting up their own religious health institutions, maybe Baptist health institution, Adventist, Catholic health institution, but the new religious institution now don't give a damn. All they want is that they want to give you miracle. Go and take money and all that stuff.
But to you, let's get a break. When we return from the break, we'll hear from Lagos how their primary health centers are doing and what they think about the state of the health sector in the country. Lagos, please join us again. We'll be right back. Dr. Tuyi Mibawadu is an expert of decades under his belt in terms of the health and research, whatever it is you want to talk about in the health sector. He's got you covered. He's talking to us this morning about the ailing health sector in Nigeria. Join us again. We'll be right back. I'm Sherif Quadri. Stay with us.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info. 8:32 is the time from our studios. And ever since we started, we embarked on that break. Myself and Dr. Tuyi here, we have been having conversation non-stop. I wish sometimes we could just put on the mic and let you join the conversation while the ads are going on. Tuyi, thank you again for joining us on the show this morning. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Sue.
We'll be taking some thoughts and your calls and messages on our live stream on Facebook, our live stream on YouTube. For those who stayed during the break on Facebook live stream and YouTube live stream, we appreciate you for that. We're grateful for that. If you want to send us WhatsApp messages, please feel free to do that. The WhatsApp number is 0809-597-5805. That is 0809-597-5805 on WhatsApp. But for the telephone lines, please put these numbers down. 0700-993-993-993. That is 0700-993-993-993. And for the female callers. The number is 01465-7190. That's for the female callers. 01465-7190. We'd like to know exactly what your... how you've been coping ever since the strike started, a strike by resident doctors. We'd like to hear from you, especially you that you've gone to the health facilities that you usually go to in search of access to health care. Tell us exactly, you know, how you've been coping with the strike action impacted upon by resident doctors. But let's speak with Olamide. Olamide joins us from Ojodu Bega this morning. Olamide, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir.
Morning to you.
This is my first time calling your station, and I just said, let me try, because I want to just air my view. So, the health sector is, you know, I was one of those people that, well, health can just find another way out.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't touch me or something, until it hit home. So, and my wife just went to bed not too long ago. So I was supposed to use a government hospital after I paid all the medical bills and everything, and delivery time was getting close, but the strike happened, and everything that I paid was null and void. So I had to use a private hospital. So that bill that I paid in the government hospital is literally gone. So I just wonder, like, I'm sure there are many people in my position. In fact, that day that we were sent back, it wasn't even the day my wife was supposed to put to bed. But I saw someone who was supposed to put to bed at that time, and she was turned back, like, literally turned
back. Wow, wow.
So it's so bad. It's so bad. It's so bad. Mm. I even said, like, I even thought I could, like, wait a few days and maybe they would call it off, but as I was checking the paper, no news, no update.
Yeah.
I had to find an alternative, and I had to cough out another huge amount of money, which wasn't planned for at all. So I just want the government to do something about this, because health is wealth, and I don't know, there are solutions to these things. A lot of money is being allocated to things that are not as important as health. They should cut from those things and put it in the health sector. Funds should be managed well. The right people should manage these things. I don't know.
Thank you, Olamide.
In similar climes, the health minister would have resigned by now. But here, somebody just gets away with everything. Well, I just wish the best for everyone. And I hope people can just try to seek alternative health options elsewhere if the government is failing them.
Olamide, thank you. Thank you for calling me. Appreciate it. Udwak Willis is on Facebook. Udwak says, what Dr. Mibao do is self-loading is not far from the truth, because you can't give what you don't have. Sheriff, what is the value this government is placing on health, and what's the budget vote for health sector? Udwak is contributing. Let's take one more call. Nigeria Info, good morning to you.
Hello, good morning.
Morning to you.
Yeah, my name is Olamide.
Olamide, please turn off your radio quickly.
Okay. Olamide, stop calling from the... Hello?
Yes, welcome. Go on.
Yeah, my name is Olavi Victor, calling from Lekki.
Welcome.
The issue of healthcare system in Nigeria, I think we are only joking about it. I'm not sure we are really serious. Because we knew this president as a Syria health deficient president, and we voted him. Now, he abandoned the health sector. Even the healthcare system within Aso Rock is functionless as it is today. Only for us to even hear 2-3 weeks ago that it has been downgraded to health center. Imagine. And the president will always travel out of the country. Now we are trying to vote for another person. We are trying to bring in another person who is also challenged in health. See, if we really want to be serious, me, I will advise Nigerians, vote somebody, even at campaign level. Then let anybody you want to vote, let him convince you that anybody that is going to be his health minister must be a very sensitive person, not somebody like Ngige. I'm sorry for calling his name. This man is not sensitive to Nigerian system at all. Look at him. Asu will go on strike because of this man. Nasu will go on strike because of this man. He's too arrogant. The way he acts to them.
Allah Victor. Ola Victor.
You want to sign an agreement with them, you will not implement it.
Thank you, Ola Victor. I must correct you that agreement signed with all of these unions were not signed by Ngige. So it's a wrong notion to put that on his table just like that. I'm not saying that, you know, you're wrong completely, but I'm just correcting you the fact that the point of agreement and the issues of these unions, it precedes this government, really. Well, thank you for calling me. I appreciate it. Dr. Tui, let me come back to you. And that is about, let's talk about investment in the health sector by successive governments, because we're so very quick to always blame the present government. You have rightly said it over and over again about how the kind of attention we pay to the health sector from time, not just about this government alone, but it's sad that when patients go to our hospital, our public health facilities to go and seek medical help, the common thing that is synonymous to virtually all our public health institutions is the doctors refer these patients to go and do some examinations outside of these facilities. As basic as some examinations are, we still cannot get to do them in our facilities. Machines we don't have, equipment we don't have. How badly is the situation when it comes to health infrastructure in Nigeria? How bad is the situation?
Again, first and foremost, the quality of health infrastructure you are going to put in place will depend on the budget you allocate to them.
Very true. Very true.
Okay. If you're giving 8 naira per person per day and barely 3,000 naira per month for health, inclusive treatment, drugs, building and everything, all those things, what can you get out of that kind of system? Now, if you want to rethink health system in terms of infrastructure, what we need to do is to look at, first and foremost, ensure and equip the primary health centers, to provide basic services for people, educate them, link individuals, link families to specific health system and health personnel. The link is very easy. What I know is that if I'm staying at Oriba, for instance, I know that my place is Oriba Primary Health Center, and the name of my doctor is Dr. So-so-so, nurse is the second person, the phone number on me. And in such a way, if they need to now come to Ekpe General Hospital, as an example, they must have sent my message ahead to another doctor at Ekpe General Hospital expecting me, giving me an appointment. If it's an emergency, there must be a provision for that. So we cannot run a proper health system without rethinking what we are running now. It's not working. So that will not put emphasis on more on prevention rather than curative. By the time we're getting to curative, we're allowing the National Health Insurance Scheme. It's just about 2% that's been covered by National Health Insurance Scheme. The rest, 98% of Nigeria, has to actually seek for health insurance elsewhere. The HMO is riddled with all sort of funny things, you know, short practices. So then the only thing that we're going to take up and allow the individual, the government to mix between private and public will be the tertiary, where you need to do some advanced care. So now the private initiative should come to that level to move equipment. Because, you know, to move equipment like...
I was going
to
ask you that. Do we need public-private partnership
At the peak.
Okay.
Because if you allow the flow to go from primary healthcare, I'm sure out of 100 people, you'll have taken care of about 80. Okay? By the time you get to secondary, you take care of under 10, 15%. Those remaining at the top will just be the 5%. And that is where, you know, for instance, somebody is going to do a cancer treatment, you know, a whole course of cancer treatment. You know, in such a way that the government pays certain percentage, and then the health insurance pays certain percentage, and the individual, if he can afford, pays certain percentage. Okay? Now, we should look at those vulnerable in the societies, the younger ones, the pregnant women,
the elderly.
There must be a clear package to take care of them. Even if you cannot link the adolescents to that primary system, you must be able to link the very young one and the elderly to a health system. And then you don't separate your private hospital from public system. Because if a private hospital exists in a location,
yeah,
it should be able to deliver some level of healthcare which government can pretend and supervise and say that, listen, for this 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 population,
yeah,
can you help me lower their blood pressure so that they won't put pressure on other people? So it's a simple thing. And therefore, doing that and your report, then the government can say, okay, we are supporting you because we are doing this at this community, at the level of the community.
Yeah.
So now, but if you look at what the health system is, that it's just all noise. For I can tell you, in a very big public hospitals with all the fanfares, launching kidney center and all those things, you know, 3 weeks ago, I still lost a friend there. They never had a dialysis unit. No single machine is working. And that's at the center
and
of
that,
Lagos.
That was a public hospital.
That's a big public hospital with all sorts of names. You still have to go outside that place to go and do dialysis house.
No dialysis.
If you order for test, you have to still wait for some time. You even personally, you know, I had reason to take my daughter through some checks, okay? It was a lengthy wait from morning till evening. These are nothing that we encourage anybody to go. So because the access, both physical access, financial access, emotional access, spiritual access to the health center or health institution is so key. We must be able to allow accessibility at that point. Yeah. It must be affordable to the people. You know, it must meet their need. Okay, look, because once people are distrusting the government, they are distrusting the institution of government, they will run away. They will run away. Even look at sometimes some of those things that could be beneficial, people will query it.
Yeah.
Look at the fight against COVID vaccine ongoing all over the world, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Because once people can doubt you as their leader, you have a big problem.
It's a big problem. Let's get to WhatsApp. We'll take a few thoughts from WhatsApp, then we'll come to the telephone. Let's see. Ali says, not until the National Assembly members begin to earn salaries and allowances like every human being out there, Nigeria will never get itself and always expect strike from left and right. Ali, thank you for your thought. The primary healthcare remains the bedrock of the sector. When I was in medical school, we were posted to rural areas for community-based experience. The PhD that I've had no patronage until we started the posting, and we saw over 130 clients in a week. The health centers have no doctors or nurses. Some are even manned by unqualified personnel. It is shameful. Olubenga sent this in from UK. Olubenga, thank you for joining us from the UK this morning. Let's take Tony from Oworo. Tony says, your guest knows what he's saying, coming out with statistics. Kudos to him. Thank you for your thought. This person says, even the so-called doctors have their own private hospitals where patients are sometimes referred for medical attention at an exorbitant rate. Government is not doing enough, and we, the citizenry, are not exempted from the shady games. Let's look inward. Olusegun Adebanjo is in the Ikorodu. He sent an Olusegun. Thank you for your thought. Let's take some more calls right now. Hello, good morning to you.
Hello, Mr. Sherry.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, my name is Ngozi. I'm calling you from Ajawi.
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Talking about our health sector, I think the public really don't know what is going on in the health sector. Honestly speaking, I have two patients, cancer patients, one there in Enugu. Do you know that a whole radiology machine in UNTH Enugu has not been working for the past 4 months? It will work today, tomorrow it will break down. Coming to Loot, Mr. Sherry, I have another patient that we've been taking to Loot for some time now. The machine they use in Loot, they have shut down the government section of Loot that at least the poor masses can access. They built a new center. They're managed by South Africans also. That make it so expensive, Mr. Sherry. The things these people used to do, 1,005 in the other side of Loot, in that new place now is 20,000.
My
the
word.
The normal chemo that they do, maybe for around 100, in that place is over 800 and something thousand.
Oh my.
Where is the hope for the poor masses when it comes to medical treatments or
healthcare? Ngozi, thank you. Dr. Tui, Ngozi made a very valid point. It's as though people really don't. Is it ignorance or what do we call it? Like, people don't know the kind of situation we are in.
This is my counsel. The consumer of health, health is a public good, okay?
Yeah.
The consumer of health should really rally around and demand. You know, you see, when the government is saying that I'm going to do this, drill the government on their health agenda. That may be the reason you are voting, okay? Look at, even quite a lot of people are not having access to even reproductive health. Children are being born anyhow, and that's why they're dying, okay? And then the other aspect of it is that I expect one state in this country to have looked critically at its health system and said, listen, if you are indigenous of this state, you are going to get good health. The population is the demographic
at least one,
of that,
at least one state.
The demographic of your people are with you. You know where they are. You can even, you know, have a whole understanding of the health pattern and disease pattern in your state. It's very simple. The data are there. And look at how to mobilize resources, both human and materials, to address those health challenges. Okay? So in a way, what we have seen happening at the federal level is being replicated at the state level. Nobody gives a damn. And then let's also challenge a lot of NGO and faith-based organizations that if, for instance, you are having a lot of things that you can build big universities, wonderful, you know, as a health faith-based organization. Also, touch the people's health. Touch the people's health. Build something that can
Build clinics, build hospitals.
Hospitals, of course, that can be affordable to the people. Of course, most likely, it may not be affordable because their institutions are not affordable. So now, government should be able to take the burden of payment, because when you want to break people down socially and economically, put health burden on them, they should take the burden away from people. What is the minimum wage that somebody will have to go and pay 20,000 naira to do an ordinary test? Or even to do an MRI, you're going to pay as much as 70,000 naira. So these are taken for granted, okay? So now, what exactly are we... The necessary thinking that should transform our health system is not resident in any of this health leadership. And the major problem confronting health now, yes, we may say finance, but it's leadership and governance in health system.
Leadership
and governance, that is the major issue.
Because I was going to ask you, how do we begin to change the narrative?
Because now, you look at your health situation. Let's say, for instance, you have the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency having just 20% functionality. 6,000 out of 30,000 primary health care all over the Nigeria is functioning. You have to query the leadership. What are you doing? How do we increase it to 80%, 70%? What are the issues? Who do you call in? Do you call some private company to adopt primary healthcare center? Do you call some NGO abroad to adopt primary healthcare center? Do you call Nigeria Info to adopt? You know, I mean, you have to have a mix of thinking put attention to that. So leadership and governance. How do you create synchronicity between all the workers in your health system, that there won't be friction and attrition every time? You are not looking at that, okay? Then how do we finance? Then what legislation focuses on particular aspects of our health system that is giving us bad names? You have to redirect your thought to those areas. Is it maternal mortality? Is it under 5 mortality? Is it drug, you know, abuse? You must be able to craft legislation to help you push and deliver that. But what are we saying? What we've seen essentially is that lack of trust, a huge trust deficit, whereby, you know, you see the leadership of government, House of Rep, Speaker, Chairman, House Committees, Ministers of Health and those things, they will come, write a paper, sign an agreement, and vacillate on that agreement and dishonor that agreement. And then we call that leadership.
And
governance, that's the key issue.
We're not done with this conversation. We just unfortunately must stop here this morning. We'll come back some other time very soon to continue our advocacy on revamping the health sector of Nigeria. Dr. Yemi Baodu, thank you so much for joining me on The Crossfire this morning. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. Always, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Sheriff.
We'll be right back. Let's take a quick break. Take this one, and we'll come back and see if we can play just a minute this morning. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
This 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.